welcome to the Hope Vineyard Podcast. For more information, go to www.hopevineyardchurch.us.
All right, good morning. Thank you, Emma. Thank you very much. Happy Father's Day to all you dads, soon-to-be dads, granddads, dads who are mentors to us, people who serve in a fatherly capacity. Happy Father's Day. You know, I've been a dad for 21 and a half years now, and that sounds like a really big number. It's a long time, but being a dad is one of my favorite things. It's one of my favorite things of all time. I've loved being a dad, and, you know, when I look back, I think, man, where is the time gone? Yeah. You know, it goes so fast, and that's all. I used to think that that was something old people used to say, and now I find myself saying it. So what does that make me? Old, right. Yeah, it's true, kids. Time goes fast. It flies by. And so much has changed in the time since I first became a dad to now. I mean, I think about all the technology changes, think of all the different things, not just how my kids have changed, but technology for sure. When I first became a dad, I carried pictures of my kids in my wallet. Anybody else remember that? Like my kids are like, what are you talking about? Well, they had these plastic little things that you put in your wallet, and you put your pictures, stuff your pictures in your wallet, ended up being that thick because you had all these pictures. And, you know, if you wanted to show pictures of your kids, you had to take out your wallet and show it. And now I just love it that I can have every picture that I own on my phone, and it never gets thicker. It's always the same size. And not only that, the pictures aren't dog-eared, and they don't, they're not faded or get nasty because of sweat in your wallet and that type of thing. You know, just because it's Father's Day, I want to just indulge me, okay? Because I'm a dad, and I want to show you pictures, baby pictures of my kids. And I'm going to start with the youngest. This is Lily. Lily, she's 16, and she'll be a junior next year. This is Tegan. He's our third son. So I'm working my way from youngest to oldest. This is Tegan. He just graduated high school, and he's going to be 18 in July. And we just loved how round his head was as a baby. It was like Charlie Brown, and it was like a perfect sphere. And then Tanner was born, and he was like half grown when he was born. He was 9 pounds, 11 ounces. And quite a package there of, you know, just a huge kid. And then our oldest is Trevor, and Trevor is going to be 22 this year. And so he's the one, you know, a lot of babies don't have a full head of hair, much less a full face of hair when they're born. But we were really proud of to be able to produce someone like that. Well, I show you some snapshots of my kids because we're in a series that we've called Snapshots of the Kingdom. Snapshots of the Kingdom. We're looking at the parables of Jesus in Matthew chapter 13. You see, Jesus, in a long day of preaching, shared glimpses or snapshots of what the kingdom of God is and what it's all about, what we can expect from it. He shared how we see it, how we discover it, how we receive it. And much like getting out your wallet and showing pictures of your kids, Jesus here gets out his wallet and he says, this is what the kingdom looks like. This is what the kingdom looks like. Check this one out. This is a different picture of the kingdom. And all through this, he's in stories that are called parables, he reveals to us the mysteries of the kingdom of God in glimpses, snapshots, and little pictures. Last week, Dee Dee launched this series. And she talked to us a little bit about the kingdom of God. The bigger picture of it is that the kingdom is God's rule and reign in this world. And we see throughout the Bible that Jesus came to tell that the kingdom of God has come. It's here, which was a radical message. It was brand new. It was unexpected. He said the kingdom has come and it's here. And he went around proclaiming this and he went around demonstrating it through healing people. But yet at the same time, we know, because the world is still messed up, we know that the kingdom is not yet here. We call this the already and the not yet, that the kingdom is already here, but it's not yet here fully. There's an overlap of two kingdoms. And that big question, the struggle that a lot of Christians have, and frankly, a lot of people throughout the world about Christianity would say is, well, if the kingdom is here, why is the world still so messed up? If Jesus is who he says he was, if he is sitting on the throne, if he's the Son of God, if he has all the power, if we have the Holy Spirit living in us, if we have access to heavenly things and the power that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in us, why is it that the kingdom isn't more apparent? Why isn't it more obvious in our world? Why do people still go hungry, even though we live in the richest time in all of human history? Why is it people still go hungry? Why is it that there's injustice where children and women are being sold as slaves around the world? Why is it that there's still such animosity between the races and between nations and countries? Why are we still warmongering if Jesus is in control, if he's on the throne, if the kingdom has indeed come? Why do we still see the world is so messed up? Why do we still struggle to scrape by 2,000 years later? Why is the kingdom not more apparent if it has indeed come? Or why don't we see it? Well, today, as we get into Matthew 13, I think we'll begin to see just a small glimpse of perhaps why this is. A little piece of one of the parables that Jesus shares with us. I think we'll begin to at least maybe get a little facet of it, but maybe not all of it. But it's a start, and that's where we're going to start. So if you just pray with me as we get into Matthew 13, I just want to invite you to pray with me. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. And on this Father's Day, we are so grateful that you are a good Father who loves us deeply, who cares for us, cares for his kids, takes care of his kids. Thank you, God, that we can trust you in every circumstance. And thank you for bringing us all here today. We pray for those who are gathered here, those who are traveling with their own fathers in different places, people who are throughout the summer doing different things. We thank you for them. We just bless everybody who calls this place home. Everyone who calls Hope Vineyard home, we pray that you would pour out your blessings on them. We thank you for all those who are gathered in the churches throughout our city today too. Would you bless them, our brothers and sisters in all throughout this city and Rankin and Hoopston and Gibson City, where the name of Jesus is lifted high. We were grateful, Lord, to be counted in the saints who are worshiping you today. We pray for your spirit to come and touch this gathered group of believers in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn to Matthew 13. This is verse 1 through 9. Jesus is telling us the parable of the sower. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open up to those, follow along. If you don't, it's on the screen. But I want to start by reading it. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, the message of the kingdom of God, this understanding that it is here and not yet here, that totally changed my life. It totally made sense to me in a way that helped me see that I might be crazy, but I'm not crazy in this way. Understanding that God's kingdom is here, but yet it's not here, that to me, that revolutionized how I saw the world, and especially how I saw God working in the world. It changed my life. It changed everything for me because I'd never really seen that before. It was somewhat hidden. You know, I grew up going to a private school in high school, and I had 4 years of religious training, religion class every day, and read the Bible through that, and I had no idea that that Jesus, his main thing that he did was to come and bring the kingdom. And in that, everything changed. And I had never seen that before, this whole idea of the kingdom of God. It was revolutionary for me, and it changed my life. But you need ears to hear it. You need to be able to see it. You need eyes to see and ears to hear, as Jesus tells us. And that's what I want to focus on today, this idea of having ears to hear, because this is really important for us. It's precisely what Jesus is appealing to in Matthew 13. In verse 9, he says, "Those who have ears, let them hear." Now, I look around this room. We all have great-looking ears. Like, everybody has ears. We own them. We have different levels of being able to hear, but most of us can't, you know, have some capacity to hear. Is that what Jesus is talking about? Like, you know, opening your ears to just hear in the natural world? I don't think so. I think it's more of a hearing that goes down deep in us, and this is what he's talking about. And in fact, in Matthew 13, Jesus says, "Hear or listen," 19 times. He says it 19 times in one chapter. So anytime that Jesus repeats something, we have to really sit up and take notice. It's really important for us to find out what he's talking about. And so let's just go back a little bit. What got us to this point where he starts talking about a farmer scattering seed? Well, we see that up to this point, and you know, up to chapter 12, the end of chapter 12, he's going through all the small towns in Galilee. He's traveling from town to town. He's proclaiming the kingdom of God. We can think of it like he's going from Gibson City to Elliott to Paxton. He's moving on to Rankin, Hoopston. He's like going through all these small towns. And sometimes we don't even think about it that way, but the reality is that those towns that we read about in the Bible, most of them were a lot like our little areas, agricultural communities. They were small towns. Most of them were smaller than Paxton is. And sometimes I think we lose that sight, that scope of what Jesus did. So he went from town to town, and while he's doing this, it says large crowds have gathered. They're following him. He's like a rock star. He can't go anywhere without crowds following him and wanting to hear from him to preach. And he finds himself here at the beginning of chapter 13. It says he stepped out of the house, and the house, we believe, is Peter's house, one of his disciples. And it was stepped out of Peter's house and went down by the lake, the Sea of Galilee. And he just sat down. But then the crowds gathered around. They came up to him. And there were so many crowds that Jesus stepped into a boat, got off to the shore a little bit, a few yards off the shore, and he used the boat as a pulpit to begin teaching the huge crowds. And because we're a Bible-believing church, we want to follow the example of Jesus, and so it said that Jesus sat down and the crowd stood on the shore. So today, what we're going to do is do what the Bible says. I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to have all you guys stand up while I preach. Does that sound good?
No.
Well, all right, fine. Yeah, right, tip the boat over. No, Charles Spurgeon, who's a famous preacher, said that there'd probably be a lot less sleeping in church if we followed the example of Jesus here in Matthew 13, where the people stood up, right? Well, anyway, I know you won't fall asleep today. But Jesus begins by telling a story. He's preaching, and he tells a story about a farmer sowing seed. Sounds riveting, right? Like, who doesn't love a great story about farmers? Not really my story, but I think, you know, like all these crowds have gathered, Jesus launches into this story. There must be something to it. So let's dig into it. It's a parable. Parables aren't two male cows. They are stories that have truth alongside them. Some of you got that. That's good. It's Father's Day. I can tell all the dad jokes I want. It's like the law. It's the law. Parables are not two male cows. They're story. Okay, I shouldn't have repeated it. You learn. You got it?
No.
All right. So there are stories that have truth running alongside them. So there's Jesus told these parables. There are stories about everyday ordinary things. They had truth that ran alongside. And oftentimes the truth or the point of the story was sometimes concealed. It wasn't always evident. And the reason he used parables, it accomplished two things. The stories were memorable, and in using everyday ordinary actions and events and activities, the people would ultimately end up doing that again. So they'd hear a story about something they do all the time. They would do it, and in doing so, it would recall what Jesus taught about. And then, so using the stories had this connection there, but also the stories had this truth that ran alongside. So it was thought-provoking. They would think about these things, and while they're doing the everyday, ordinary things of life, they would also reflect back on, what did Jesus really mean when he said this thing? Farmer scattering seed. What is he talking about? And at the end of the parable, Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear. And that's aside from the story. That's not really what the farmer was saying. It's what Jesus is saying. He tells this story and he says, whoever can hear, let them hear. Like, really hear. What does that mean? Whoever has ears, let them hear. Is it possible that there's something that Jesus is sharing that we can't quite discern that he wants us to hear? I would say so, but in a natural sense, what does that look like? I found there's a 9-year-old kid named Dylan. He lives in the Atlanta area, and Dylan has what we call perfect pitch. Dylan, about 1 in 10,000 people have some form of perfect pitch, and he's really more like a musical superhero. I want to watch this video. I think you'll see what I'm talking about in this video real quick.
I don't think you're going to stump me on this one.
All right, let me try here. So, I have you sing notes. Sing an A flat. C. How about F sharp? E. How about B flat? Okay, I'm going to play a chord. I want you to listen to it and sing the notes.
F sharp, C sharp, F sharp, D sharp, B, D.
That's correct. All right. Name these.
D, F sharp, C sharp, D, B flat, B.
That's correct. All right. Going to be tough. This is a double polychord. Listen closely and tell me all the chords.
D minor over F sharp major over B major over C major.
Sing D minor.
D, F, A.
How about B major?
B, D sharp, F sharp.
Sing the note A flat. Okay. One last chord. I'm going to try and stump you. Here we go.
E, B, G, B flat, E flat, A flat.
Sing B flat, E flat, A flat.
B flat, E flat, A flat.
Very good, Dylan.
Yeah, that's what it means, ears to hear. He has special ears to hear music in a way that I would guess none of us could. I mean, I've been a musician for 36 years, and there's no way I could even get close to any of that. Perfect pitch, you know, ears to hear what is being played. And in the same way, Jesus is appealing for us to have ears to hear the message of the kingdom. In this parable, it represents a few different things. The farmer represents God. God is the farmer. He comes out and he scatters seed, and Jesus tells us the seed is the message of the kingdom. And ultimately, the seed goes on to four different parts of the ground, four different soils. Sometimes this is called the parable of the soils. And the seed falls on different parts of the ground, and depending on the ability to hear or the ability to receive the message of the kingdom, we see a different response. And so let's look at that. This is what Jesus reveals to us. He says there are four kinds of hearers in this world, that people who hear the message of the kingdom and respond differently. And this is important because kingdom impact depends on how well we hear. How we want to make a difference in the kingdom, how we live it out, it depends on how well we actually hear what God is speaking to us. And so first, in Matthew 13, 18 to 19, Jesus says, the first hearer is the hardened hearer. This is the hardened hearer. It's a hard-hearted, hard soil type of hearer. In this parable, Jesus says, let me read it. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. And so seed that falls on the path is a is where people walk. They just walk, and there's, you know, there are no streets, there's no sidewalks in this time. So the path was like concrete. It was just tamped down over and over. It was the same place where people walk, lots of traffic. And the seed that falls on this kind of ground can't penetrate the ground because it's so hard. It can't grow, and ultimately it just sits on top of the ground, and Jesus says the birds come and they take it away. It's just like Satan coming and taking away any kind of ability to hear what is what God's speaking to us through the kingdom. And this represents people who hear God's word, but it makes no difference in their lives. Maybe you've been that person where you've just been unaware. Maybe you've heard the word of God, but it's made no difference in your lives. A hardened hearer is someone who the soil of their hearts is just so hard that even God's word, the good news of the kingdom, of who Jesus is and what he wants to do in our lives, it can't penetrate the hard soil of our hearts. You know, maybe hard hearers are people who they feel like God has let them down. You know, and so they've hardened their hearts because they don't want to be let down again. They don't want to trust. There's unresolved hurt. There's unresolved pain in our lives. And sometimes our hearts can get hard because of that. Other times our hearts can grow hardened because of just living a life that's of repeated sin. We want to live on our own terms and we want to do things our own way. And we don't turn to God. We continue to do our own thing. And when we do our own thing, sin hardens our heart because we're not open to receiving what Jesus has for us. And so unless we have sincere repentance, unless we're able to honestly reflect on what is our life, is the soil of our life soft or is it hard where, you know, I don't care if I've hurt other people. I don't care how I've been hurt. I'm just not going to do it. Just not going to do it. Hardened hearers would be people who would, you know, tend to say, hey, the church is just full of hypocrites. Church is full of hypocrites. I don't want anything to do with it. And when people say that, you know, I like to say, no, the church isn't full of hypocrites. Look around. We got room for plenty more right here. We've got plenty of room for you. Like we got hypocrites all around. I'm a hypocrite. I think most of you are hypocrites. I mean, really, we don't always do what we want to do, do we? We don't always live the way we want to live, the way we know we should live. We go out of the doors here and we live a different life, or we respond differently, or, you know, flip somebody off on the road, or we do things the way that we don't want to do. We're hypocrites, right? And we've got room for plenty more. The reality is that we are hypocrites, but following Jesus has made me less of a hypocrite than I was without him. Like I'm moving forward a little bit. And that's the whole point. We want to be moving towards him. If you think you're going to be perfect, you're not. In fact, if you're one of those people who has all the answers and you know all the answers and you feel like you've arrived, you also can fall in this hardened hearer camp, even if you're a Christian. I know lots of Christians who have all the answers. They know exactly what the Bible says, and that's the way it is, and no change in it. No change in me and what I think about it. You know, there are people who get saved and then they never grow after that. They might receive the free gift of grace that Jesus has for them, but then they stop growing. They don't have any empathy. There's no room for compassion or mercy. There's no room for growth. That would be a hardened hearer as well. And so Jesus says, hearing the kingdom, sometimes it falls on hard ground. And really doesn't produce anything. It just gets snatched away. Second kind of hearer is the superficial hearer or a surface hearer. Superficial, on the surface. Matthew 13, 20 to 21 says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now, in this area, in Palestine, the ground had this limestone strata about 1 inch or 2 inches below the topsoil in many places. And so you would plant stuff on this area, and the seed could take root a little bit, but if it goes down deeper, it would hit this impenetrable rock, And so, you know, the plants would grow up fast. They could look healthy, but after a short time, they would die because they had no deep roots. They wouldn't find the water. And in the same way, a superficial hearer is someone who is initially excited about Jesus. Somebody who comes to church every week and gets in small group and gets involved and is super excited about Jesus. They hear the word, but yet they fully aren't open to what God wants to do in their lives and perhaps get some roots down deep. And ultimately, when the challenges of life come, or trials or persecution come, and things don't go the way that they think it's supposed to go, then they turn their back on God. Because if God's not answering the prayers that I want, then I don't need him. And so people who don't have these roots, when trouble or persecution comes, we all have one or two options, right? We can either run to Jesus or we can run away from him. And if we are superficial hearers, we tend to run away from him. If our roots go down deep, we know that our source of life is in the deep soil. But if we have superficial roots, then we're going to run away from Jesus. And the reality is, if you're a Christian, trouble will come your way. Don't believe any teaching that says, you know, you're going to live a charmed life, the life where everything's going to go great, and, you know, if you know Jesus, your whole life is going to be better. Now, I would say, yes, your life is better because it's written in the book of heaven. But when you become a Christian, maybe for the first time, it's like taking a target and putting it on your back. And many of you, I know, you know, you're saying amen. I've experienced that. You put the target on your back and Satan wants to come after you. He wants to snatch away any kind of joy you have. And that's why having roots that go down deep, being connected to community and with other Christians who have been there before and know they can tell you, you're not crazy. This is the enemy's tactics. This is what he likes to do. He likes to take away. And what you're experiencing right now is what Christians throughout all the ages have experienced from time to time. Trouble, suffering, persecution, it is part and parcel. The Bible tells us that we share the same sufferings that Jesus did. And so it's part of it, but it's not the only thing. And with him, we can endure it, but without him, we're like the plants that grow up on really shallow soil or with the rock. We can't last long without him. A third type of hearer is somebody who, Jesus says, is a distracted hearer. Somebody who's distracted. In Matthew 13:22, he says the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Have you ever noticed how weeds seem to grow just like effortlessly? Like, come by my house and you'll see a luscious crop of dandelions growing up. I've got weeds that grow in the grass. Like, no matter what you try to do, I gave up a long time ago because I call weeds flowers. You know, they're flowers. But have you never noticed how weeds tend to, they just grow effortlessly? It's because they're a natural part of the ground. They're a natural part of that area. But when you try to cultivate a garden and you want to bring in corn or tomatoes or something, that's foreign to that area, and so it takes a lot more work to put something that's foreign into this area. And so the weeds like to come in because they're naturally part of where you're growing stuff. In the same way, what Jesus is getting at here is that the weeds represent this idea of what comes naturally to us in our fallen state. Without Jesus, we're naturally people who allow weeds to grow up. It's part of our old nature. That in our natural state, we're jealous people, we're greedy people. In our natural state, we're selfish, we're self-centered, we're self-focused. In our natural state, we're anxious and lazy. And so we naturally default to these kinds of things. You know, we naturally hoard what we have, and we naturally think only of ourselves. That comes easy to us. Those are easy things that come to us. But the way of God is something that's foreign to the old self. It's a new thing. And the natural things of the world can distract us from what God wants to do, the new thing that he wants to do in us. You see, the Christian life is not a natural life. It's a supernatural life. It's a spiritual life that is different than our natural tendencies. And so living this new life takes care and it takes intentionality. It doesn't grow from the natural soil of our hearts. We need new hearts with new soil that grows from above, not from below. Remember, we're born from above. And likewise, we need to grow from above. We have to make room and space for God to work in our lives by uprooting the weeds and getting rid of those. And Jesus tells us, what are those weeds? The weeds of worry and the weeds of worldly wealth, deceitfulness of wealth. And there are different ways of worldly riches. It's not just money. It's fame. It's fortune. It's admiration. It's recognition. It's putting me first. It's really sin. And so we have to pull up these roots of worry and the pursuit of worldly riches, the things that we think are going to satisfy us, and make way for the kingdom of God to really cultivate a new life in us. And this is what brings us to what Jesus says would be the good hearer who has good soil and can actually produce a crop. He says in Matthew 13:23, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Now, I probably don't have to explain to you the value of good soil. I mean, we live in the breadbasket of the whole world. We live in an area where this is the envy of all the world. Missionary friends, Chinese friends that I have who have come here, been in this church and been part of this, they all of them remark at our farmland. You know, we tend to take it for granted, but we live in the richest soil in all the world, and it's the envy of the world because we feed the world. And it's a real privilege to do that, but good soil on its own isn't enough. You know, just to have good soil isn't enough. You need sun, you need fertilizer, you need food, you need water, that type of thing for the plants. You need to care for it. And Jesus says you need to hear it and understand it. That when it falls on good soil, you're going to understand it. And what does that look like? It means we produce a crop. We multiply. We are fruitful. The good hearer is someone who receives the message of the kingdom and then passes it on. Somebody who is able to share it with somebody else who doesn't know. Someone who bears fruit, you know, multiplies ourselves. That's the language we like to use in the vineyard. And we multiply ourselves. We pass on what God has given to us, and we don't keep it to ourselves. It's so good that we can pass it on, and they pass it on. And we do this in a variety of ways. But we want to see fruit in our lives, in our words, in our works, in our character, our conduct, in our influence, in our impact. And we want to pass it on. We're good hearers, multiply themselves. Get the picture? This is one of the snapshots of the kingdom, that we get to see the kingdom at work. And I don't know about you, though. I regularly find myself from time to time camping out in different soil. Like, I'm not always living in the good soil. So, you know, that's where I want to be. But sometimes my heart is hard. Or sometimes I'm just so distracted, right? By the cares and worries of this world, by cares, you know, of raising a family, of living my life. Sometimes it's superficial, and what God is showing me doesn't always take root like I want it to. And I find myself in different soils. I mean, anybody else, you know, relate to that? Sometimes you find yourself as somebody who's camping out in different soil. You know, so for me, sometimes the picture, the snapshot that I see is high def like it is on my iPhone in millions of colors and, you know, vivid. But other times it's like, you know, I took it with a little Polaroid and it's blurry and fuzzy and out of focus. And, you know, I don't always see the kingdom the way that I want to. How do we be people who are good hearers? How can we be on the good soil? What are we shooting for, in other words? What's a win? Well, I think we can learn a couple things from this parable, and I'll just share them with you real quick. The first one is we rely on Jesus. Rely on Jesus. When Jesus shared these parables, not just in Matthew 13, but throughout the Gospels, he shared it, but what I find remarkable is oftentimes the disciples will come back to him afterwards. You know, it's like he would preach to the crowds, and then he'd have a huddle time with his disciples, and they'd be like, you know, what did you really mean? Like, even the disciples didn't get it. You know, they missed it all the time. And so they would come to Jesus, and they would ask him, what did you mean by this parable? Why do you teach in parables? And we don't see Jesus saying, ah, forget it. If you didn't understand it, you know, get out of here. He doesn't do that. The disciples knew they could come to him and that he would say, all right. You know, he might call them like, you foolish generation, you know, dweebs, you don't get it. But he would tell them what it means. And here we see him tell, you know, this is what it means. Like, I know you don't understand, but I want to share it with you. We can rely on Jesus. We can trust him to always reveal the kingdom to us. And if we don't get it, we press in, right? We continue to press in because we're lost without him. We want our roots to go deep into the soil of God. We don't want to be people who sit back and are superficial because Jesus is willing and he'll explain it to us. We rely on him. We trust in him. We're lost without him. Secondly, we see in this parable this idea of sowing generously. Like, so if God is the farmer in this parable, don't you think he knows what kind of soils there are? Like, why wouldn't he take all the seed and just put it on the good soil? God could certainly figure that out. What I find remarkable is that our God is so generous. He's willing to waste seed just with the possibility that maybe some of it will take root in some of those other soils. You know, maybe one of those seeds will fall on the rocky ground or the hard path, and perhaps, you know, it may take root. You never know. Maybe within the weeds, we'll see something come up or where it's, you know, the rock is hidden under the topsoil. Maybe it'll come up. And he's willing to just, you know, be generously wasting the seed. You know, he's willing to waste it. This is a picture of our God. He's so generous that he wants the kingdom to come to every possible person, that nobody is written off. There's nobody that is so far gone in the Lord's mind about receiving the kingdom. Like, it might not be as receptive to it, but he's willing to spend it on them. And that's the kind of people we need to be, that we're willing to spend whatever we have on people, even if we don't think that they're willing to receive it. It's not up to us to get them to receive it. It's just up to us to spread the seed. It's up to God to provide the increase. Remember, Paul waters, Apollo planted, but God provides the increase. He's the one who does it. And so we have to be people who just scatter seed generously. And we do this with our lives. We do this with our finances. We do this with our time and our energy. We do this in every way. We want to be generous because our Heavenly Father is generous. And lastly, we expect a harvest. We want to expect to see fruit. Like, it grows when we're in good soil, and we grow, and those around us will grow. We make each other stronger, and we can have faith to know that God can do more than we could ever imagine. But we have to be people who are always looking for a kingdom harvest, right? People who are always seeking to see God at work and always on the move. And so we get involved. We participate. We don't just sit on the sidelines. We're not just those kind of Christians who are content to get saved and know that we're going to heaven someday, which is just a small part of it. I mean, that's awesome in and of itself. But we can't be people who are content to let that be the only thing. We need to be people who are saying, you know what, I've received this kingdom thing. I know a little bit about it. Here's what it is. Let me pray for you right now. Let me come alongside you and just, you know, I know life is really hard for you right now. Let me just sit with you. I'll cry with you. I'll spend time with you. That's the kind of people we want to be, to see this fruit and this harvest. Our lives changed so that we can change other lives. Changed lives change lives. And our lives have been radically altered. We are people who step in and change other people's lives too. So how is your hearing? What soil are you living in right now? You know, think about that as we worship today. I want to encourage you to think about what is, you know, like, are you receiving the kingdom? Is it something that your heart has been hardened because you've been hurt? Or maybe God has, you know, you feel like God's let you down or things didn't quite go your way the way you expected them to. Maybe he wants to soften something in that today. Maybe you're just too stinking busy. You know, that life has you running ragged and you're so worried about, you know, what God's going to do, or you're worried about this thing or that thing. And it could be good things, but yet you're one of those distracted hearers that, you know, the things of life are choking the ability of God to help you grow up. Maybe you're just planted on soil that isn't very deep at all and your roots, you know, are shaky. I think as we worship today, in just a few moments, as we sing our songs of love to Jesus, that he wants to bring healing in a lot of those areas. That he wants to soften the soil. He wants to make it fertile. He wants to make us be able to receive the message of the kingdom. And he's going to impart that today through giving his life-giving breath to you.